Blog Talk Radio.
Yarlene Khabib. There's just one little thing I want to say. And that little thing is Ribono Shel Olam, Ani Ohev Otcha. Here we go.
Ribono Shel Olam, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. Ribono
director. He's going to be talking with us, discussing the Al-Quds Day, sort of, I guess they call them celebrations. They call them their rallies that took place in Calgary and Toronto. These are very, very hateful events that are totally anti-Israel and anti-Jewish, and so we'll be discussing that. And I've also got Alan Skorsky. It's a pre-taped interview, so that'll be in the second part of the show, where he'll be discussing his book Israel Betrayed, and it's he goes into a great deal of detail about Hillary Clinton's anti-Israel stance that is covert and not so covert at the same time, and also J Street and Fine Art, different groups and people that she's involved with. So that'll be in the second half of the show. I want to bring up how heartbroken we all have been over the recent attacks in Israel. There was a little girl. Her name was Hallel. She was stabbed in her bed. Her family lived in Kiryat Arba, right there near Hebron, and an Arab, so-called Palestinian terrorist, jihadist really, a global jihadist, because that's what this is, came into her bedroom and stabbed her to death in her bedroom. And if that wasn't enough, then these global jihadists attacked and shot a rabbi who was driving on the road in that area with his wife and I think two of his children in the car. He has had 10 kids altogether, and he was murdered on the scene there. So there was a very, very sad funerals for these two people that were murdered just recently in Israel. And so that's really why I do this show. You know, we've got to bring up the truth about what's going on in Israel and the truth about this global jihad that's going on around the world. The so-called Palestinians do not want land. They want to get rid of the Jewish people. And so, you know, that's what's really going on here. And the world stands around and, you know, sorry, I'm just writing to Meyer on the messenger. The world stands around and just, you know, lets this go on. So there was getting to the Al-Quds Day that I'm going to talk about with Meyer. There were these Muslims were standing around on these platforms with a sign saying free Jerusalem and free Palestine, which is a euphemism for getting rid of all the Jews in the entire country of Israel. And they were reading their Quran. So they're the ones that marry the Quran and what they say in the Quran with their intent to murder the Jews and other people who don't believe in Islam as well. But in this case, it has to do with the Jews in Israel. So, you know, what they're doing is they are basically, you know, standing up in Canadian cities and calling for the death of the Jews. So, we really need to stand up and start to speak out against this and get these Al-Quds Day demonstrations stopped, because why are they even going on in Canada at all? They shouldn't be. You know, I'm not sure what is going on here, but so anyway, I'm going to be talking about that with Mayor, but I'm not sure why he's not calling in right now. What I might do is play the interview with Alan first, and then I'll get a hold of Mayor and see if he can call in after that. So I'll play the interview right now with Alan. So everybody hang on tight for that. Welcome, everybody. This is Leslie Ann Stoffel with Real Clear Israel Radio, and I'm so, so excited to talk to Alan Skorsky today. He has written a book called Israel Betrayed, and this book is just going to be incredible. I'm going to read Alan's bio right now for everybody. So Alan Zagorski has been a political activist for over 30 years, starting as the first pro-Israel student leader at Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan. He served as an advisor to congressional campaigns on issues related to Israel. His appearances have included MSNBC, The O'Reilly Factor, C-SPAN, and dozens of radio interviews, including Michael Gallagher's radio show. His columns have appeared in WorldNet Daily, the Jewish Press, and the Five Towns Jewish Times. He lives with his family in New York, and he's been my Facebook friend for a number of years now, and this is the first time that I'm meeting him, so I'm very happy to have you, Alan. Welcome.
Well, thank you. So you see, now I'm a real person, and I'm not just a Facebook fixture.
Exactly. So I want to read this full title here. It's so good here. Israel Betrayed, How the Democrats, J Street, and the Jewish Left Have Undermined Israel, and Why a President Hillary Clinton Would Be Disastrous for Israel. So tell us why you wrote this book now.
Well, essentially, basically, you know, they say that you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. In this case, it's the exact opposite. You can judge the book by its cover because the title really says it all. And if you notice also, we have different quotes on the book cover because this is not just another one of those bash Hillary books. You know, there are lots of them out there, and lots of them are good books that talk about, you know, how she was as first lady. This is a very issue-oriented book. You know, every 4 years when we have a presidential election in America, we say that this is the most important election of our lifetime. After the last 8 years of Barack Obama's administration being the most openly hostile administration towards Israel, and now the Democrats are much more open and much more brazen in how they view their relationship with Israel. In years past, Democrats would always say that when it comes to Israel, there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. What Barack Obama has done is said, no, there is a difference between Democrats and Republicans. And at the same time, during his administration, we have seen the rise of left-wing Jewish activists like we have never seen before, not only guiding the agenda towards Israel, but trying to shape foreign policy that way. I'll give you an example. Before Barack Obama was president, there was never a group called J Street. Today, J Street, while only a fraction of AIPAC, they have been very influential in guiding a very negative policy towards Israel and promising Barack Obama, anytime you want to do something to harm Israel, now they don't use harm Israel, but they say if you want to withhold U.S. support in the UN for Israel, or if you want to push a pro-Palestinian agenda, let us know first and we'll do the legwork for you. That never happened before. You have an author, an editor like Peter Beinart from Haaretz and The Atlantic, who wrote a book called The Crisis of Zionism. And the book is nothing but, from beginning to end, it's an attack on Israel. It's an attack on the American Jews who, in his opinion, we spend too much money on Holocaust museums and not enough money promoting, you know, Jewish and Zionist values. And his book is a complete attack on the state of Israel, modern-day Israel, modern-day Judaism. We have a chapter on the Jewish ambassadors, whether it was Dennis Ross, whether it was Martin Indyk, whether it's Howard Gutman from Belgium. And all of these ambassadors, they've all helped guide a negative policy towards Israel when they were very familiar with the players involved. Dennis Ross wrote a book called The Missing Piece. It's over 800 pages. I've read most of it. And basically what he says is that during the Clinton administration, they had one agenda. It was destroy Netanyahu and to make a peace treaty happen before Clinton left office. They acknowledge that towards the end of the book that Arafat was never really serious about peace, but that the administration didn't care. They knew he was violating the terms of the Oslo Accord, but it didn't matter because to them it was more important to see a peace treaty get completed than anything else. And while this was happening, they were putting Israel out to dry, and they were isolating Israel in the world of public opinion. And then you had a former ambassador like Martin Indyk, who not only tried to, you know, coax, whether it's Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, how to mistreat Netanyahu. But he himself, he leaks secrets about Israel, about negotiations. So there are a whole slew of people who are Jewish, who are part of the left, who have worked tirelessly to undermine, you know, to Israel's security and Israel's standing. There's a chapter in the book about reform rabbis who have been very, very active in supporting left-wing causes, in supporting various factions of BDS, and of trying to drive the narrative that the only thing that's preventing peace in the Middle East is Israel's obstinance and refusing to give up on settlements. There is almost no recognition or acknowledgement of Palestinian terrorism. There is no acknowledgement of the thousands of quotes from the Palestinian leadership that they view all of Israel as occupied Palestine. And this is important because in the beginning of the book, I have a chapter that's dedicated to quotes from Palestinian Media Watch. And I would ask that you and your listeners subscribe to Palestinian Media Watch. They monitor Palestinian activism, their speeches, their education curriculum, their media, and they translate verbatim everything that's coming from the leadership, whether it's the education curriculum, which teaches kids to kill Jews, whether it's different leaders saying that they don't want a state within the 67 lines, but they want all of Israel. It's never ending. Mm-hmm. And yet this administration ignores it, and they are aware of it, because if I know about it, they know about it. And I'll go one step further. When Hillary Clinton was a New York senator, she had a press conference with Itamar Marcus from Palestinian Media Watch to denounce the Palestinian curriculum. And she, at that time as a senator, she called for suspending aid to the PA until the incitement stopped. Once she became Secretary of State, there were no more communications with Palestinian Media Watch. No more. She didn't cite any of their documentations anymore. And she was well aware of everything that's being said by the PA. But once she became Secretary of State, the agenda, her agenda, Barack Obama's agenda, the Democratic Party agenda was to undermine Israel and to force a peace treaty, which meant essentially creating a Palestinian state that would be, you know, no different than Hamas or any other country right now going through the so-called Arab Spring that was taken over by Al-Qaeda or ISIS.
You've called Obama the most hostile president in U.S. history towards Israel. Give some examples of that.
Well, you know what? Just from my own witnessing myself, and again, through all the research of the book, I cite different examples. But this was the first one that I saw. When he spoke at the University of Cairo early in the administration, he said to the students, you know, that you cannot deny the Holocaust, because we know that throughout the Arab Middle East, denying Holocaust is part of their curriculum. In the next sentence, he says, on the other hand, we cannot deny the suffering of the Palestinians, and their situation is intolerable. So here we had a U.S. president actually drawing a moral parallel between the suffering, between the Holocaust and the Palestinian status quo. There were other events that were cited by members of AIPAC while he was just a candidate, where Barack Obama said things like, you know, Israel, not just that Israel, part of what drives them is not just the threats that they really do face, but their own paranoia. Because in his mind, and he said this, he doesn't worry about Israel's security. And as Dennis Ross said, that Barack Obama views this conflict as strong versus weak, not right versus wrong. Israel is strong, therefore they're the ones that have to make the concessions. And because the Palestinians are weaker, he doesn't hold them to account. He was also quoted before he became president, as saying nobody has suffered more than the Palestinians. Peter Beinart wrote in his book that as a youth growing up in Chicago, his closest Jewish friends were all very left-wing friends, and they were of the mindset or the same mold as J Street is today. There was no J Street back then, mind you, but these were left-wing Jews who believed that Israel was an oppressive, occupying country. So that's the mindset that Barack Obama grew up with, and that's what he believes.
Yeah. Explain a little bit. Some people might not know what is J Street and what were some of the things, what are some of the things that they have done covertly? Some of the things they were doing, we were being told they were doing one thing, but actually covertly they were doing other things that were undermining Israel. What were some of those things?
Well, I'll give you an example. J Street, Jeremy Ben-Ami is the CEO of J Street. He worked with the Bill Clinton administration, but that was before there was an actual J Street. Once Obama became president, they formed an organization to counter what they called right-wing influence of AIPAC. Now, for anyone who knows anything about AIPAC, they are so not a right-wing organization. Most of their leadership are Democrats. They support a two-state solution, but they don't support throwing Israel under the bus as J Street does. In his book, Ally, but written by Michael Oren, he wrote that before he became ambassador, he ran into somebody from J Street, a board member, and he asked him, you know, why did you join J Street? And he said, because I was uncomfortable with the close relationship between Israel and the United States. J Street sees as their mission to create daylight between Israel and the United States. At the 2015 convention, and I cite the SPIE convention, one of them was someone named Marsha Friedman. She is a radical feminist. She was a member of the Knesset, I think, back in the 60s. And she said that Israel should not be a Jewish state. Jews should live in Israel only as a protected minority under a Palestinian democratic state. Now, of course, you know that there are no democratic-run countries in the Middle East. And for anyone to suggest that Jews would be safe living in a Palestinian democratic country is out of their mind. You know, as a book, you know, based on that theory, you know, the Zionist dream could be fulfilled because there are many Jews living in New York under a democracy. But she is against Israel being a Jewish state. Another speaker there was a Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum. She is the leader of the largest gay synagogue in America. And she was even harsher. Israel, according to her, was a racist country. There were in her own synagogue, they've allowed BDS organizations to hold meetings there. They supported the Turkish flotilla that tried to break the blockade in Gaza. Every speaker there had one objective, and that was to criticize Israel. I actually had a Facebook exchange with one of the speakers there. He was a nice guy, you know, very pleasant, from Minnesota. And I asked him, said, in your 5-minute speech, why couldn't you say one good thing about Israel? He told me that I wasn't allowed to. I was given a speech, and my only thing I could talk about was about how Israel is occupying Palestinian land. And that was from beginning to end. If you ever watch an AIPAC conference, speakers were Republican, Democrat, right and left, but they're from all, and they talk about, you know, the vibrancy of Israel, why it's an important ally. J Street conventions are about beating up on Israel. And that's what they do. That's every speaker, whether it's Peter Beinart, whether it was Dennis McDonough, who was Obama's chief of staff, when he said that 50 years of occupation must end, got a standing ovation. So these are the people who are going to J Street. Their objective is to change the dynamic of what Israel is and the relationship between the two countries, that Israel should not be able to rely on the United States defending it. J Street has said over and over again that they have no problem if the United States... Go ahead.
What do you think, Alan? What do you think is driving this? Like, where does this come... Where does all this come from, all this hostility and animosity and this drive to build all these coalitions and groups that undermine Israel on every single turn and level?
You know, because this goes back to, this is ideology. This is liberal progressive ideology. The same people who are anti-capitalistic in America, the people who believe that America is too powerful. Look at what Barack Obama has done as president. He went around the world apologizing to other countries for what he sees as American arrogance. And they view Israel pretty much the same way. Yes, Israel, you know, has potential to be a good country like America, but just as America, the great country, also has a dark history, you know, because of slavery, so too Israel also has a history that it must correct, because, you know, the founders of Israel were Ben-Gurion and other socialists. And now that Israel is a thriving, and it's a country that's a world leader in science and medicine, technology, military, Israel is seen now as a powerful country, and the left despises that. And so left-wing ideology obligates them to side with the underdog. And it doesn't matter that it's wrong. It doesn't matter that the Palestinians never – there was never an Arab country called Palestine. All of that is irrelevant. They don't care that the Palestinians have said over and over again that they view all of Israel as occupied territory. They don't care that the Palestinian education curriculum calls for killing Jews. None of this matters to them. What they see is Israel is an extension of America. America is an oppressive, you know, I guess I don't know if oppressive is the right word, but America is a very powerful country, and to the left, power, you know, is never good. If you ever Bernie Sanders encapsulated in his entire campaign that America, you know, it's a capitalist country and the poor don't have and the system is rigged against those who don't have. And it's the same mentality that they view Israel as a little America and the Palestinians as the way blacks were viewed in America in the 50s and 60s. It is irrational. You cannot have a rational discussion with point. You'll answer. This was going to happen. This is happening before, where all of a sudden the call just gets dropped.
Yeah, I know. It just dropped all of a sudden. I don't know why. That's so strange. Okay. I was going to ask
Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, the Haaretz thing, like, you know, that paper is poison. It's toxic. And as you say, you've said it's worse than the New York Times. Can you give people a rundown on that? Because I don't think people really, you know, the average person thinks Haaretz is just a fine newspaper to read, and it isn't.
Haaretz is so far left, you can't believe that they're actually a Jewish newspaper. If there were any other newspaper outside of Israel, it would be called anti-Semitic. There are several examples we cite in the book. One of them is when the editor had a dinner with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and said to her, you know, we want you to rape us. Again, obviously that wasn't literally, but basically they said Israel is a failed state and the only way that we can redeem ourselves is if the United States just comes, you know, and forces us to capitulate, you know, to the Palestinians. Another editor wrote to Jews living in Europe, don't make Aliyah, because if you come here, you are participating in a crime of taking over Palestinian land. So this just it's the mindset. It's hate-filled. It's hateful, but it's a very, very anti-Israel type of publication. I've had an exchange with one of their columnists who lives here in America. He took a picture with Roger Waters at a Haaretz conference. And he was very proud of himself. You know, Roger Waters is the leading advocate for BDS, and he was so proud of himself in the picture, which is also in the book. But to me, you know, he wrote that he views the right as being destructive to Israel and destructive to Zionism. They don't believe in Israel as, you know, as a Jewish country. They believe that it's land. Jews can live there, and so can anybody else. And there is no Jewish identity that has a right to have a foothold in the state of Israel. So it's also, again, it's a very, very left-wing mindset. It's devoid of any religion, devoid of any right versus wrong. It's liberalism at its worst.
Yeah, it's that regressive left which tears down anything that's good and tries to deconstruct it and bring that moral equivalence in, where it just is so destructive for Israel. My gosh. Well, you do have some. You've given so many excellent examples in here of all these and different people, but you've also done a thank you for supporting Israel to different rock stars here, which I think is really good, and also how to support Israel and defeat Israel's adversaries. You've also got that in the book as well. So this is a teaching tool in a way too. People can draw lots of information for what's going on with Hillary Clinton and the people around her, but also there's encouragement for supporting Israel and how to do it in an effective way as well. Isn't that right, Alan?
Well, you know what? That's how I view this book. It is meant to be a political handbook. It brings you everything that we need to know about what a Hillary Clinton administration would look like. It's not just a political, let's attack Hillary, because that's the thing to do here. Israel is an issue that will be in the forefront. Hillary Clinton has her own history. She will be surrounded by people who are anti-Israel, and Jewish activists must be much more active in fighting back and exposing these people for who they are. You know, people like J Street, Peter Beinart, they are active in poisoning young minds, and we need to expose them. As Alan Dershowitz has said, J Street is one of the most anti-Israel organizations he's ever come across. He says that with all the research he's done, he couldn't find one single press release from J Street that had anything positive to say about Israel. Groups like Media Matters and the Center for American Progress, who are both very integrated in the Clinton campaign, according to Alan Dershowitz, again, he has accused them of being the David Duke of the left. So there is a long, long list of people that we as supporters of Israel need to be concerned about. And it's not just that if Hillary has a Jewish son-in-law or if she wants, you know, went to Israel and has friends there, as she likes to claim, she is surrounded by people who are venomously anti-Israel. One of her closest associates is Sidney Blumenthal, whose son Max is anti-self-hating. And just recently, and this did not make it into the book, but just yesterday after the passing of Elie Wiesel, sent out a tweet that Elie Wiesel should not be honored because his life was last years of his life were spent promoting fascism and hatred. So, you know, what is this? How is there no condemnation from Hillary Clinton about the writings of the son of one of her closest associates? And Sidney Blumenthal regularly promotes and sends her his articles and columns, which help influence her speeches, to be concerned about. And it's not something that Hillary can say, well, it's not something we agree with, because often what will happen is they'll say, well, we don't agree with everything they say. No, you can't get away with that anymore, not when your entire circle of advisors are hell-bent on a certain ideology and a foreign policy that your constituents base are going to absorb. If you remember the Democratic debates between Bernie Sanders and Hillary in Brooklyn, instead of Hillary shaming Bernie for not speaking at AIPAC and for his, you know, making a moral equivalence between Hamas and Israel, Bernie Sanders shamed her for speaking at AIPAC and not talking about Palestinian suffering. And the audience applauded. Hillary heard that, and she had to back down because she was afraid that if she says no or she tries to counter that, that she's going to turn off his entire base against her. The party platform that's being drawn up, their members were picked by Bernie Sanders, by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, by Hillary Clinton. All of them appointed people who are anti-Israel. So this is the direction that the party is going into. 4 years when the DNC left recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel out of their platform, it was not a mistake. It was a trial balloon. They saw what happened. Now that it's been done once, it'll be easier to do it the second time. And you watch what happens at the upcoming convention. You're going to see more language that is less supportive of Israel than's happened before, because they want to draw in and strengthen their constituency.
Wow. Well, this is an amazing book, a handbook, if you will, of so much information that is so useful to us, especially right now, as things are just going to become so heated during as the elections come, with Hillary Clinton as the, we're thinking she's going to be the running mate, or the person for the Democratic Party as the that
the presumptive
to elect for
nominee.
President. So, is there anything else you want to add, Alan, before we close up?
You know what? There's so much in this book that we still didn't talk about. But what I would recommend is that especially for your listeners, stay in touch, remain active, never allow the left the upper hand. When they're denouncing Israel, and understand that when they attack Israel, they're not doing so out of morality or out of human rights. They're doing so out of a hatred for Israel and to reduce Israel's stature. We have a chapter about the ADL. You know, in America, the ADL was always revered as one of the most active organizations in combating Zionism. But here, too, Abe Foxman, who recently stepped down as leader, they have a long history of ignoring Democrats making comments that were hostile towards Israel, like when John Kerry said that Israel is on the verge of becoming an apartheid state. This should have brought all kinds of condemnations. Instead, they said, well, his words were a little unfair, and he shouldn't have said them. But they target conservatives, people like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity. These are amongst the most staunch pro-Israel radio talk show hosts in America. They combat anti-Semitism. They fight for support for Israel, and they are not they don't give Republicans special treatment. If a Republican ever says something against Israel, these talk show hosts pounce on them. And you would think that the ADL would acknowledge them and recognize them for their work. Instead, they target them when they criticize Barack Obama and John Kerry. So understand that this is a real fight.
That's been troubling to me, too, when I've seen that. And that's been very troubling to me as well. I've noticed that. And I want people to buy the book. I don't want to give everything away. I want people to get the book. But I just want to see what you have to say about what can we give people how to support Israel and defeat Israel's adversaries, as you say. Like, just give us a little bit of taste of that.
So this is what I do. I've recommended this in the section of my book after the introduction, where after I list the betrayers, I list who the good guys are. And in that list, I list groups like Palestinian Media Watch and others. The only way to fight people is to be informed and educated. If you don't know what's happening, how do you fight back? Palestinian Media Watch, again, I keep referring to them because to me they are the best example. They have thousands of quotes and citations that prove, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that the true Palestinian agenda is to eradicate Israel. And once you have that information, then nothing that they say has any standing anymore. Barack Obama can't say we support a two-state solution. Well, you can't say that when the Palestinians themselves say we don't believe in a two-state solution. When Hillary Clinton says, as she did, that mothers from the West Bank want the same thing as mothers from Tel Aviv. Well, no, not when you have thousands of mothers who say that I wish I had 100 more sons to kill Jews. So having the information and then also having the courage to stand up to people, because the left, they are bullies. On any college campus, whenever a conservative comes to speak, they get shouted down, they get interrupted. Ben Shapiro, formerly of Breitbart, I think now he's with Truth Revolt, when he went to speak at UCLA, they had to sneak him around the back and they had to have all kinds of security because the left doesn't allow for freedom of speech or freedom of expression. Alan Dershowitz has said that when he goes to college campuses, he feels like he needs armed security. So understand that we do have a real battle here, but the only way you fight back is, A, being very informed, and B, not being afraid. It's very easy to be cowed because these people are bullies. Students for Justice in Palestine, these are thugs and these are bullies. And they are allied with groups like Jewish Voices for Peace. They're allied with groups like J Street. And it's important to fight back against them. And as far as, J Street college students, they're young enough. I still think that some of them can be saved and rescued from the poison that they're being taught. But understand, when I went to college 30 years ago at Wayne State, there were other groups. There was the General Union of Palestinian Students. And this was before Oslo. So this was when there really was a battle, the PLO against Israel. And we never backed down. And that was something that they weren't ready for. They are propagandists. They're fighting for a cause for the sake of fighting for a cause. The Palestinians don't want a Palestinian state because if they do, then their whole reason for existing is over. Arafat, and Dennis Ross said the same thing, that Arafat didn't – at the end of the day, he couldn't bring his people to create to fight for Palestinian state legitimately, because once there is a Palestinian state, the whole Yasser Arafat era – or the whole cause is over, and they were created to get rid of Israel. They weren't created to fight for a Palestinian state.
Yeah,
and that's the same
it's really
mindset
just
that they have
part,
today.
The Palestinian cause is really just part of the global jihad. I mean, that's really what it is, because they don't want a state. They just don't want it.
Right. Listen, you have Hamas in Gaza. It is so torn. And now, again, there are areas there that are very nice. People shouldn't think what they see on the media that it's just a bunch of blown down buildings. But it's a non-functioning government because their objective really at the end of the day is not to create a normal life for their people. It's to launch wars against Israel. And Palestinians who live in Judea and Samaria, it's the same thing. Step further. We've heard day in and day out The West Bank is occupied. The West Bank should be the Palestinians, blah, blah, blah. Peter Beinart, again, God bless him sometimes for putting his foot in his mouth. He says that the West Bank was conquered or taken over by Jordan in 1948, and they renamed it the West Bank to delineate it from the rest of the Kingdom of Jordan. Beinart then continues to say that Jordan doesn't want it back, the Palestinians don't want them to have it back. So we shouldn't call it the West Bank, we should call it undemocratic Israel. Now, what does that tell you? What that tells you is that it's not Palestinian land, and to call it undemocratic Israel is just another way to attack and vilify the state of Israel. Take land that never belonged to the Palestinians, give it to them, and we'll call it a negative name like undemocratic Israel just to put more pressure on them. And according to him, Israel should then withdraw, let the Palestinians have a state, which they will do nothing but launch more attacks against Israel. Then Israel's defense borders are that much thinner than they were before. So even their own battle doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. And it's I've been doing this. I'm just a grassroots person who became involved in wanting to support Israel and, you know, started doing it on social media and then writing blogs and doing this, doing everything I can to try to get the truth out about Israel, because there are facts on their side and there isn't a moral equivalence. And that's what I'm always trying to point out in these shows when I have people like you and other people who are experts in the law, the international law and that sort of thing. And this kind of isn't related to your book, but it does frustrate me a little bit when the leadership in Israel doesn't proclaim their rights via international law, and they keep going along with this, well, okay, we're going to need to give this land back to you. You know, it sets them up to be beaten up by all these groups and things going on because they're not taking their rights and proclaiming them.
You know, I've also been befuddled by that on more than one occasion. Like, why can't Israel just say what we're saying here? But as far as the battle here goes, you know, understand something. We will always be outnumbered. It's always going to be that way. You've got, you know, Jews are a small percentage of the entire population. You know, Muslims are, you know, there are 1.4 billion Muslims in the world. So we will always be outnumbered. But lobbying is very important. You know, in Washington, I've been to Washington before, and keeping the phone lines burning, meeting with members of Congress, these organizations, they do make a difference. But Republicans, elected officials have told us that, you know, they do beat up, so they need us to keep reminding them to keep this in front of them. And one of the reasons why I always support a Republican Congress is because they do have a close affinity with Israel than the Democrats do. 14 years ago, I wrote a column. This is back, I think, in 2002, explaining why Republicans would naturally be more supportive of Israel than Democrats. I said, you know, why do people support Israel? Well, you've got the religious right because, you know, God said, you know, the land belongs to the Jews. So you have the Christian right. They're part of the Republican base. You've got other Republicans who are very defense and military hawkish, people like John McCain or Newt Gingrich or Rudy Giuliani. The Democrats don't have that base. They have no compelling reason to support Israel other than for Jewish money or Jewish votes. They are not a party that's very closely identified with religion. They frequently mock religion. They are a party that's always seeking to denigrate our military. So everything that Israel stands for really doesn't mesh that strongly with the Democrat brand. And that's why I've been saying for years that as soon as the Democrat constituency, as soon as they get strong enough to overtake the value of Jewish voters, Democrats will drop Israel like a hot potato because it won't matter to them anymore. There's no compelling reason for them to support Israel.
No, no, that's true. Yeah, it's getting pretty dicey. And when you see these horrific, horrifying attacks that just took place over the last few days in Israel, with the little girl being stabbed in her bed, and then the rabbi being shot while he's driving his car on the road, and there's absolutely not a peep coming out of the White House, it just makes your blood run cold. How these people are just so
You know, after Russia invaded Crimea, Obama spoke to NATO. It was a 35-minute speech, and during the speech, he implored the audience three times to be tolerant towards gays in Europe. And I said to myself, you know, what does gay rights do with NATO? They said it three times, and it dawned on me. He said, you know what? In Europe, they don't have issues. Okay. In America, you know, between the religious and not religious, gay rights, gay marriage is an issue. But in Europe, they've always been much more open to it. But there was not one stopping the tide of anti-Semitism, which really is spiking in Europe to levels not seen since World War II. In that speech, one word about Europe's responsibility to protect the Jews or to combat anti-Semitism. So, again, it's something that they don't care about. In their minds, they do believe that while yes, it's a shame when someone gets killed, but Israel kind of brought it on itself. You know, Peter Beinart says that in his book, Crisis of Zionism. Last year when you had the stabbings and people run over in the streets of Jerusalem, Barack Obama said the killing on both sides must stop. So this is the mindset. Yes, we don't support killing of Israelis, but understand the Palestinians have legitimate grievances that must be addressed. So while we don't condone the violence, blah, blah, blah. So that is the mindset, that there is a moral equivalence, that Israel is not this great, wonderful country that we Americans keep talking about. They are guilty of their own sins. So understand that until they take steps to rectify the wrongs that they have perpetrated against the Palestinians, this will continue to happen. That is the Democrat mindset, and that is how their platform is going to be molded in upcoming elections.
Well, it's fantastic that you wrote this book, Israel Betrayed. I've been speaking with Alan Skorsky, and the book is available on Amazon on July the 13th, but you can go to the webpage now at israelbetrayed.com and sign up for an email that will tell you when the book is when it's available. You can sign up there, because I've got it open right now on my computer. So this is just an incredible resource of information, and I thank you so much for writing it, Ellen, because I'm actually getting a lot out of this, and it's gonna help me a lot too in my activism as well. So I really, really appreciate it.
Well, listen, I thank you for having me, and I want to commend you for all the work that you've done. And it is people like you that allows, you know, the rest of us to continue the fight that we're fighting. So, you know, God bless you.
Oh.
Keep doing what you're doing. You know, and thank
God
you, because you're a vital part of what, you know, helps the pro-Israel movement stay strong in combating, you know, what we are combating.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And happy 4th of July there. I'm a patriotic Canadian, and I stand with my patriotic American friends. So have a wonderful time tonight when you go out with your friends and family.
Thank you very much, and God bless Canada.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to have... Okay, everybody, so that was the interview with Alan Skorsky, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope everybody's going to go out and buy the book. So I'm going to play a song right now, and then I'm going to bring Mayor on, Mayor Weinstein from the Jewish Defense League in Toronto. everybody, welcome back. It's Leslie here from Real Clear Israel Radio, and I'm just waiting for Mayor Weinstein to call in from the Jewish Defense League in Toronto. And a couple of things we're going to talk about here. I just saw something that he posted on Facebook, and it says that the World Jewry was off guard as Al-Quds Day protests castigate Israel from Baghdad to Boston. And apparently here in the Times of Israel article, the JDL is mentioned as the only Jewish group in North America that took action against this Al-Quds Day. And again, the Al-Quds, this is from Jihad Watch, the Al-Quds Day speaker in Toronto calls for Israelis to be shot. So there's some really serious things going on here, and I'm just waiting for Mayor to call in. I'll just send him a quick message here and see if he's ready to call in. So just hold on 1 second. I'll just text him and just wait for him to call in, because we're going to have to discuss. Oh, here he is here. Okay. Hi, Mayor. Hi, Mayor.
How you doing?
Hi. Good. Yeah, so anyway, this is, everybody, this is Mayor Weinstein from, he's the National Director of the Jewish Defense League coming out of Toronto, and there's some very serious stuff I want to talk to you about, Mayor. Okay, so there were Al-Quds Days going on all over the world, basically, but the two here in Canada were the ones in Calgary and Toronto. So can you tell people what is Al-Quds Day, and why were you going up against them?
Well, first, let me just mention that we also had counter rallies, counter protests in Chicago, New York, and Boston. So
okay.
That's five.
Okay. Okay.
Purpose of Al-Quds Day. The purpose of Al-Quds Day. It originated from Iran, from the Ayatollah Khomeini in 1979, and it is a call on Muslims to march to Jerusalem and take the land over from Jewish people and throw the Jewish people out and destroy Israel. That's in essence what Al-Quds Day is. And the rallies that are that have gone on in Iran and other countries, they burn Israeli flags, they step on Israeli flags, they burn American flags, and they just call for elimination. And it's about time there's going to be some pushback, and there was.
Good. Now, there's an article here put out by Jihad Watch, and it says, this is the headline, the Al-Quds Day speaker in Toronto calls for Israelis to be shot.
Absolutely. That's exactly, they don't hide. They make it very clear. They feel very justified in calling for the murder of Jews in Israel.
Why is this allowed to go on? This is my question. This is if somebody wants to find some hate speech, this would be hate speech.
Not only would this be hate speech, but this Al-Quds Day is promoted by what would be considered moderate Muslim organizations in Canada. So I think the veil should be lifted. Who's behind Al-Quds Day?
Who is
Calgary,
it? Can you name
you
them?
In Calgary you have an imam by the name of Shawardi that was promoting Al-Quds Day in Calgary and attended Al-Quds Day, even posted on his Facebook page, not ashamed. And he supposedly attempts to redefine what terrorism is to the RCMP and CSIS. Tries to establish meetings with them. He claims to be anti-terrorist, but at the same time, Iran, no problem with Iran, no problem with Iran's proxies. People should understand that it's really not that complex what's going on in the Middle East in terms of ISIS. A lot of people are against ISIS. Well, guess what? Hezbollah and Iran are also against ISIS. That does not make them good guys.
No.
Hezbollah and Iran are behind Al-Quds Day. Hezbollah makes a statement on Al-Quds Day that they're very happy that they have over 100,000 missiles pointed at Israel. That's their intent. That's the message of Al-Quds Day. And anyone who supports Al-Quds Day supports missiles landing in Israel or on Israel.
And it says
these people have to be exposed, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it says that this one, it says the world Jewry is off, caught off guard. So the JDL was mentioned in this Times of Israel article. Why? I can't even understand this.
Well,
you're the only ones that are saying anything about this, and everybody else is silent on this.
That's right. And not only that, but there are certain Jewish student organization leaders that have been telling students, stay away from the Jewish Defense League. Don't go, don't attend. And if you do attend, then you're not going to be welcome back to our programs on campus. That has to change. Jewish leadership has to change. Jewish leaders are beyond even approaching them and explaining to them where they should admit and feel somewhat ashamed of the positions they have been taking. There's got to be a change of Jewish leadership. There's got to be a change of Jewish thinking completely, because these people, these organizations, they're very clear. It's in the media. Their intent is the murder and the destruction of the state of Israel and the Jews that go with it. And we have to stand up to it. Now, in London, England, a JDL chapter there, and we gave them the idea, and they ran with it to promote a counter-protest against Al-Quds Day. The establishment organizations, they caught on to it, and they finally had enough of the anti-Israel Jew hatred that's been going on from Al-Quds Day, and they decided, let's do it. Let's counter it. So there was a very successful, in London, England, counter-protest by the major Jewish organizations. That has to take root here.
Yeah. How can we do that, Mayor? How can
we
get that change here?
You know what? Well, nothing's a secret anymore. We have social media. We got to get the word out. We have to be vocal, extremely vocal. And we got to build connections with a lot of good people through social media, and there are, and they're joining forces, and we strengthen ties with them. And that's the only way that you're going to persuade major organizations to change. You have to take action first to force them to take action.
And I also saw an article about B'nai B'rith were calling for the banning of Al-Quds Day because of this calling for the murder of Jews on this demonstration of theirs. So that's a good sign too, isn't it?
It's a sign, but we need them to tell people to come out to the protests. We can't sit back in our offices and find out a day later or 2 days later what took place. We were promoting it. Come out and confront it, and don't hide from it. So we expect them also to take more aggressive action.
Now, did Ari Fold, is that his name from Israel?
Yes.
Did he come out to your?
He was in town on Monday, so we hosted him Monday at the Toronto Zionist Center, and we had a lot of people come, and he has an important message to deliver about support for the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. He's doing tremendous work to help them, and we're ready and willing to assist them in any way we can.
Yeah, and he's got a show on Israel News Talk Radio, so if anybody wants to listen to him there, and he's also all over Facebook and everything, as you are, and I've put the link to your web page on the show notes with this show. Was Robert Spencer supposed to come as well?
You know what? Robert Spencer made it in for the protest. He was there, and he spoke at the protest, and it was kind of chaotic because there was all kinds of flight cancellations on Friday, and somehow he made it in. And
are you
going to
have a video?
Was,
are you going to have a video of his? Are you going to have a video of his speaking?
I think there is one. I have to double check. There's so much. You know, you can imagine I was in New York on Friday organizing for Boston and New York, and then I had to come back here
Friday. Gosh.
So
wow.
There was a lot of work. So all that. But we're going to sort through everything. We'll get everything, and we'll post everything, and you'll see it all.
Okay, awesome. So do you have anything else you want to add and how people can get in touch with you and whatever and what we can do?
Well, come on Facebook, number one, and you could join the Jewish Defense League of Canada or the International Jewish Defense League as we branch out across the border into the United States, reopening chapters that lay dormant for a long time, or in other countries I have people contacting from the UK, from different places in Europe. We got to wake people up, and that's what we're doing. We're setting up chapters all over the place. So get involved with us. This is your duty. If you've wondered what you could do to contribute, this is what you could do. Get involved with the Jewish Defense League. We have the message. We have the cause. And our cause is just, and our cause is right, and not only that, it's holy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great to talk to you again, Mayor. I always enjoy it, and I'm so behind you guys. And I'm just thank you so much for coming on, and I'm sure we'll be speaking with you again very soon. And God bless you and what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, everybody. So that was my conversation just now with Mayor Weinstein from the JDL. Everybody, please get involved with the Jewish Defense League. Join the chapters wherever you can. I've put his webpage in the show notes of the show. So you can find it there. I'll actually read it out right now. It's jdl-canada.com. So try to get involved with them. Mayor Weinstein is also, he's on Facebook. His name is spelled M-E-I-R. And then he has a second name in there. So hold on one second here. Yeah, M-E-I-R-H-A-L-E-V. I, and then his last name is Weinstein, Weinstein. So you can join him there. And we've got to confront these evil, horrible Al-Quds Day demonstrations. That kind of stuff has got to be stopped. This is completely out of hand now. When they're standing there reading from their Quran, and you can see these on YouTube, and I've put it on my Facebook page. Oh, yeah, that's me on Facebook. Leslie Ann Stoffel is my Facebook page. Real Clear Israel is on Twitter, and also I have that page on Facebook. And also my webpage is therealclearisrael.org. So I've posted some of these videos on my Facebook pages and Twitter, and they read from the Quran, and they say they'll do anything in their power. Nothing is out of bounds for them to rid the land of Israel of all the Jewish people. So this is a call for another Holocaust. So this is extremely serious, and we have to get on board and stop however we can, because this is completely evil and wrong. Okay, so I guess I'm on my little soapbox there, but anyway, that's the way it is. So I usually do a show every 2 weeks. So my next show I have a show coming up on July the 19th, and Pamela Geller is going to be on it, but which is really exciting. But what I did was I planned a special show for next week, because I'm going to have Yishai Fleischer on, and he's going to talk about the area of Hebron, the city of Hebron in Israel, and how it is very important to the Jewish people and why it's being attacked now. When you see Kiryat Arba being attacked in the news like you have recently with these attacks on these the little girl in her room being stabbed to death and then the rabbi being killed, murdered in the street while he's driving with his family, this Kiryat Arba is the Jewish settlement beside Hebron, and I've been there. I've spent Shabbat there with my friends. So I'm going to have Yishai on next week for a special show. And then the week after that, July 19th, is Pamela Geller. I had a scheduling bit of a screw-up with Dr. Mordecai Kadar, so we've got to get him on, but I'm not sure when exactly. And we've also got Robert Spencer coming back again to talk about his new book, The Infidel's Guide, Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. So we've got lots of good stuff coming up in the near future. I might have somebody on the phone. Somebody might be, I'm not sure if it's somebody just listening or calling in. I don't know. Let me just ask them on a text here. Caller. Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, so that's going to be the end of the show, everybody. And actually, this person, he's typing in, so just one moment, he might have a question. Ah, okay, it's my friend. So, okay, no problem there. So what I'll do is I'm going to close out the show now. And so look forward to next week, our special show with Yishai Fleischer. He's a talk show host, and he is a really important and interesting person from Israel. He lives actually in Jerusalem with his wife Malka, and I believe they have two kids now. So that'll be really fun to talk to him. So good night, everybody. Shalom. Thanks for listening.